Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello
and welcome
to Off Script.
I was about to say, where are the crawdads sing?
The crawdads sing for us.
Where we compare books to their movies.
And today we're doing Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yes, that wasn't obvious. We're on season 6, episode 8, and I'm Allie.
And I am Bree.
And we're just so happy you're here.
We are. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Yes, yes. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hopefully.
We'll see. Yeah.
This was a listener pick by a lot of people at the nerd party.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had never seen it.
That's surprising to me.
It just didn't seem like in when I saw it in theater previews, I was like, meh,
mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Yeah. My mom really wanted to see it, so we saw it when it came out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
All right.
You got any pictures painting?
I guess now I can go with the picture I was going to paint me before I did the plants.
Okay.
All weekend, me and John have been doing a lot of work in my apartment, and it's like, I would say I'm probably 95% of the way unpacked.
Yay, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. There's still just a few boxes left with random crap that I'm like, I don't know where I'm putting it. So I just have to figure that stuff out.
Uh-huh.
And then there's some things that I'm taking to my cousin. There's some things that I'm like, oh, that would be good for mom or her classroom.
Uh-huh.
So I got to get those things out of here. But I'm pretty much there.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it is.
I know. We'll take a, once you're done, take an updated photo.
Yeah.
Of our studio.
Yeah.
We got fun stuff all around us.
Yeah, we do. Because that's me.
Yes. Dude, yeah, every inch of her walls.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun because it's like you're never bored because there's something new to look at every time.
From what I have been told by someone who is very into the Enneagram, this is a very 4 thing to do.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because people who are an Enneagram 4, they like to collect things. They like to like have all the different little mementos of the different things that they're really into.
Oh, okay.
And like certain things bring out different emotions in them. So, you know, it just makes them feel more at home. Plus, we like to be unique.
Yeah. It's very unique.
Uh-huh.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, you guys, are we ready to get started?
Let's.
Okay. So today we have trigger warnings for you. We got some murder.
Murder.
the other day, me and John are at Walmart.
Or was it Walmart or a movie? I can't remember, but something came up and he was like, this is very much a Brie thing. I was like, what? And I like read it and I was like, why do you think this is a me thing? And he's like, murder? And oh, it was a movie. It was murder and someone. He was like, how could you go wrong? That's all you want. I was like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's also domestic violence and attempt of rape. So there's your warnings. If you can't handle it, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
Understandable.
Understandably. Understandably, you can't.
All right, here's our synopsis. So Kaia Clark is a young woman who raises herself in North Carolina marshes, in the North Carolina marshes, and becomes the prime suspect in a murder investigation.
Murder.
It's been a murder. Our author is Delilah Owens.
Delia?
Delia? Yep.
Delia? Delilah? Delilah. I don't know.
I would say Delia.
Okay. Delia Owens. Director, Olivia Newman. Screenplay writer, Lucy Albar.
Albar.
Audiobook reader was Cassandra Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like her?
She was fine.
I actually really liked her.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought she was just really good with her southern accent and everything.
She reminded me a lot of the actress who plays her. But yeah. She kind of made Kaya, even when she was an adult, sound like little. A child.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't do the transition super well.
Yeah, there were scenes where I was like, wait, she's like a 7-year-old saying this? And I would be like, oh, no, she's old.
Yeah, fair.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so our book came out August 14th, 2018. Movie, July 15th, 2022. That's 4-year difference. I almost said, was this your
birthday
movie? But no, that's the wrong one.
It was not.
What'd you do first?
I saw the movie first in 2022.
Very cool. I read it first.
Well, it seems like it came out way longer ago, the movie.
I remember seeing previews of it when we were hanging out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Because you were like, oh, looks good. I was like, okay, not really.
I know.
What are your initial thoughts?
It's kind of sad.
It is sad.
It's a good kind of reminder just how shitty humanity can be.
Yeah, I agree.
Unfortunately. Although, I mean, I just think it's fucking hilarious that in the end, they were right. But
spoiler.
But
yeah, I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
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 And why did we pick it?
Because people at the nerd party picked it.
Yep. And I have fun facts for you. Allie, it's super fun facts.
Yeah, you haven't done that in a while.
I haven't done that in a long time. Fun fact number one. There was a cameo. Delia. Is that what you say?
Delia.
Delia Owens, the author from the novel, is seen in the courtroom sitting on the front row behind Tom when Patty is testifying about Chase's shell necklace.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's kind of fun.
Ooh.
Number two, Taylor Swift insisted on writing the song Carolina for the film only after she learned the actress Daisy Edgar Jones and Reese Witherspoon as producer were both involved.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's cool.
That is very cool. All right. So number three, since the production was ongoing during the pandemic, most of the cast and crew didn't actually get to see each other until the end of the shoot after all the masks came off. So they did their their scenes and then they didn't get to hang out or anything.
Then they would. Yeah. Whoa. That's crazy.
Good thing this was kind of a small movie anyways. Like not a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The story is set in North Carolina, while the adaptation was shot in Louisiana. Yeah, it seemed very Louisiana to me.
Yeah, it did.
But I'm not from North Carolina, so I didn't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been offended. But if someone from North Carolina was offended, I could see why.
Yes, I agree. Okay, so last one's a long one. So, I found it very interesting, though. This movie is based on the novel, as we know, by Delia.
Delia?
What?
Delia.
I said Delilah.
No, I said Delia. But that's not what I've been saying. No. Delia.
Delia. I think Delia.
Delia.
Delia sounds right. I don't know.
Delia?
Delia? I don't know. Owens. A main character is accused of having committed a mysterious murder. Shortly after this movie was released, Zambian officials announced that they wanted to question Owens and her ex-husband Mark about the 1995 shooting death of a suspected poacher during an anti-poaching patrol, part of a conservation project run by the Owens. In 2022, Atlantic article about the poacher's death, Jeffrey Goldblum. I was like, what? Reports that Zambia legal officers assured him that the case is still open. There is no statute of limitation on murders in Zambia. Am I saying that right? Zambia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The country's director of public prosecutions, Lillian Shawa,
told Goldberg they are all wanted for questioning in this case, including Delia Owens.
Oh,
did she just like
write a story about herself?
Like she was supposed to be the one who in the end
got away.
Oh no.
Oh, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Weird.
I know. All right. That's all I got for us. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Okay. So the way the book works, and sort of the movie, but not as much, is it goes back and forth from like current time court cases trying to figure out the murder to Kaya growing up.
Whereas the movie does that, but it starts out and stays with the murder for a while before it starts slashing back.
Yes. So in 1969 is when a man died in the swamp and two boys riding their bikes found the body.
That happens.
Then we jump to, you just want me to go and then you'll just say that happens for the.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's so intermixed. Just know that the movie starts is with the dead body and is in present day until Kaya's on trial, essentially, or talking to her lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, because I watched this with my mom and I was like, what? Because I was like, Mom, she doesn't get arrested until maybe 2 hours of the book left.
Yep.
And she's arrested now 5 minutes into the movie.
I watched the movie first and that threw me for a loop when I was reading it. I was like, we'll talk about it later.
Okay. Now we're in 1952 and Kaya is 6 years old and her brother Jody were talking. Kaya's mom left and she's not coming back. She's like, Kaya's like, no, she's not coming back. And Jody's like, nah, and you know, she might still come back, trying to be a good big brother. But Kaya remembered that morning how her mom had bruises all over her and she didn't come back. But Jody was being extra nice to Kaya.
Yeah, this pretty much happens.
Yeah, we don't really see Jody and Kaya's
like whole relationship. Yeah. Now there's like two small scenes, but
But yeah, it happens. Okay, 1952. So same year. Kaya's sisters started to leave as well, one by one, and eventually so did Jody. And she was just upset because no one took her. She was left. And her dad didn't come home for 4 days. So she's a 6 year old trying to fend for herself. When he didn't come home, or when he did come home, he gave her a dollar and said, this will get you food for the week. She went to the store, got grits, and the cashier gave her more chains than she needed because she could tell she was all alone. Saw these boys on bikes and they almost hit a woman, but they blamed Kaya, like, oh, she was in our way. And one of them's name was Chase. She gets home and she doesn't know when her birthday is, but she remembers that the moon is the autumn moon. So she thinks her birthday might be tonight. She hoped that meant that Ma would come home. But she didn't. She went out to the woods by herself, celebrate her birthday all alone.
In the movie, they don't ever like celebrate birthdays or Christmas or anything like that. Whereas in the book, it got mentioned a lot because she was like, I don't know what day it is. But the rest of this does happen.
Yeah, I would say a difference, though, was that she went to a store, the Piggly Wiggly. But in the movie, she went to
Jumpers. Oh, that's true.
So this is where she kicks off her relationship with them was So now we're back in 1969. The body was confirmed as Chase Andrews. The doctor came out and confirmed his death, and they were confused though because there were no footprints, no fingerprints. It was thick mud. This doesn't make sense.
That happens in the movie.
Yep. 1952. Kaya is beginning to forget what her siblings and mom look like. Eventually someone came to take her to school. And she went for a day, but got made fun of and felt like she wasn't learning anything. So she stopped going. She was playing outside at the beach and then she stepped on a nail and she remembered what she heard about needing a tetanus shot, but she didn't know how to get one. So she treated it herself for a while and it seemed to get better.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in the movie.
No, none of that. She
does end up going to school.
But it's Mabel who suggests it to her because she... It's like, they have warm food. But yeah, she got made fun of. Felt so sad for her.
I know.
Poor girl.
I know. She tried so hard to spell dog. but yeah. instead spelled God.
She just spelled it backwards. Come on.
So close, guys.
So now we're back to 1969. They're talking about how this could have happened and who could have done it. And we find out Chase is not really a popular guy because he slept with everyone in town. He was not a good husband. All it took was a jealous husband or an angry girl.
I don't really remember that being a thing in the movie. In the movie, it was just like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
Was it murder?
Yeah, I don't think it went to that at all.
No.
Actually, it jumped to Kaya so quickly that my mom's like, why do they think it's her?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's because he was found in the marsh and she's the only one that lives out there. And she's like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that one chick at the bar said something about how it was probably Kaya.
Yeah. But other than that. So now we're back in time in 1952, and Kaya spent her days playing pirates on the beach and doing swamp stuff. And she decided one day to take the boat out, and she had to be quick, though, because if Pa found out, he'd get really mad. And so they took it out, and she couldn't find her way home, and she started getting really frustrated. But then she found this boy named Tate, and he showed her how to get home, and she wanted to see him again. Tate's like, I used to know Jody. And Tate went home and talked to his dad about school, and he mentioned his ma who was gone, and he kept thinking about Kaya.
Correct me if I'm wrong. In the movie, Tate and her really don't have a friendship until they're like teenagers, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's the same. This happens, but that's about it. Like, they see each other. He brings her home, and that's it.
And then they're teenagers in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, this next part where they wave to each other happens, and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. But so I was so convinced because it says how she started forgetting what her siblings and everyone looked like. I was like, I bet that's Jody. And then I was like, she forgot what he looked like in a year. I was like, maybe it's not Jody.
This might not be. Jody must have changed a lot.
Yes. All right. So Kaya got home and washed the boat so Pa wouldn't know she was out. She made him a nice dinner and they had dinner together. And it was like they were talking and it was like a nice father-daughter moment. And she decided not to ask him if she could go out on the boat on her own because she's like, maybe it would only look like I made him dinner to ask for this special thing. So then she's like, can we go out on the boat together? And he agreed. And they went out and she caught fish on her first outing. So he's like, yeah, like, let's keep going. And eventually she saw Tate and she waved, but quickly stopped. And Pa's like, be careful. There's white trash out here. And he talked about their past and how they used to have money. And then something happened.
This happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're at 1969. They brought the family to see the body. And they got their first round of evidence back, and it's confirmed there are no fingerprints, no footprints, basically no sign that anyone was there. And they're trying to figure out where to go from here.
Yeah, that happens.
Yep. Great.
Allie's favorite episodes.
Oh my gosh. All right. 1953. So Kaya is 7 now, and Kaya and Pa were still having a good time fishing, and he's starting to introduce her to other people around town. One day she's getting the mail and making dinner, and she found a letter in the mailbox from Ma. She left it for Pa to open, but right when he got home, she ran and hid, so she wasn't there when he opened it. And when she got back, he had burned the letter and was pissed and went out for days. She was equally as mad because now she had no idea what Ma said or where she was, and she kept some of the ashes in a little bottle.
This happens except for Kaya is right there with him when he's burning the letter.
Yeah, and she's like, it's from Ma. It's from Ma. And she's like so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And he shoves her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the letter and the ashes and all that. Yeah.
Does happen.
1969. They're putting a barrier around the crime scene so no one drives or ruins it.
That doesn't happen in the movie, but nope. I mean, it's a crime scene, so I feel like it's just implied.
I know, right? I was like, thanks for telling me. Thanks for doing a whole chapter to tell me that. Okay, 1956. So what is she now? So it was 52. She was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She's 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pa didn't come home again. He's like ever. She's on her own now, and she's like, I'll figure out how to do all this stuff by myself. So she goes to the wharf, which is where Mabel and Jumpin work. And she made them a deal and brought them, what was it, oysters? Or mussels?
Mussels.
Mussels.
They would give her what she needed, like seeds and gas for her boat and stuff like that. After a while, they gave her seeds for her garden. She began making Ma's garden up again. And one day there were dresses on the wharf and Mabel's like, yeah, go ahead, take one. They're getting tossed out anyways. So she did.
That happens.
Mm-hmm. 1960. So she's 14 now. Kaya was off exploring, but then she saw someone. She quickly hid, but then she noticed a herring eyebrow feather. She collects feathers, so she was very excited and took this home and put it up in her collection. She also draws really good now, and so she drew the bird to match the feather. And that night, these boys came yelling for the swamp girl until she hid and they left. So they wanted to just basically bang.
Harass her.
Yeah. Banger, too. Did you think of that?
Probably.
14-year-old boys.
I love that I went the more polite route.
I even said it. It's super weird, too.
Bang.
Banger. I'll never freaking talk like that. Like, sure, let me do that. Why not?
This part does not happen in the movie.
No, it does not. Okay. Well, the herring eyebrow part does.
Yeah, but not the boys come into bang.
Oh, gosh. All right. 1969. So they confirmed the body had not been moved. It fell or was pushed out of the fire watchtower and fell like, what was it? Like 68 feet or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they had to figure out who washed away all the prints.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That does happen in the movie.
Okay, so back to 14-year-old Kaya. She was playing this new game with this mystery person by leaving feathers back and forth. One day, he left a spark plug for her and a note, but she couldn't read it. So eventually he came out, like they ran into each other, and it was Tate. Kaya was kind of bummed that their little game was over, but he offered to teach her how to read. She didn't really say anything.
They didn't really like totally play the game in the movie. He just kind of showed up one day and was like, hi, Kaya.
Yeah, it was like he was leaving a feather and she ran into him, but it was like they did it once.
Yeah.
Whereas they did it several, several times in the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
1960 still. Kaya went to town and she saw Jumpin' getting harassed by these kids because, okay, it's during the, you know, we're obviously in the 60s. So this is during segregation and Jumpin' and Mabel are African-American. So Jumpin's getting harassed by these bratty little white kids. And she, Kaya, though, living on her own, she didn't understand, like, why is Jumpin' not sticking up for himself? And eventually Tate came over and taught her how to read. And it was the most fun she had ever had. She was able to read history on her family and their old Bible. And she also found out her birthday.
The movie doesn't hit hard on the fact that segregation is a thing. Mm-mm. And so that's not ever really an issue, which I also think was weird slightly because when it comes to the courtroom and they're the only two African Americans in the courtroom and they don't show the judge being like, yeah, I guess they can sit in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just then felt very obvious what was going on without it also going on.
Right.
So I was like, I kind of wish they put, like, I get not drawing attention to it because that's such a horrible part of our history, but it was part of the story. So why not put that in the movie?
Right. So Tate continually brought Kaya lots of books to read. He came over less and less, though, now because he's back in school. But he came over as much as he could. One day she was feeling really crampy and not feeling good. And he kind of got embarrassed. But he's like, did you read that biology book I brought you? And he's like, I think you're about to start your period. And she's like, oh, my gosh. So she quickly ran to town and Mabel confirmed and was like, it's OK. You know, you're going to be fine. And later, she met up with Tate again, and he shared about how his mom and sister had died going to buy him a birthday present. He just felt awful about it, and him and Kaya kissed.
Yep, this all happens.
Mm-hmm. I would say I'm bummed in the movie that they didn't get three actors, like three sets of age actors.
Yeah.
Because so they got young Kaya and Tate and all them, and then they got the main Kaya and Tate
and Chase,
and they made them look younger, but not really.
Yeah.
So it
really felt like it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah. When I told my mom, I was like, okay, so Kaya's 14 right here. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean,
I get why, because you want to have your main actress in most of the movie. And honestly, most of the movie was teen years.
Yeah.
But kind of bummer. Okay, so Tate wanted to make sure to go slow with Kaya because otherwise he's no better than those other boys. And she celebrated her birthday with him, which she had never done before, except with Ma, because he brought her a cake and everything. And she's like, oh, my gosh. And he gave her a Christmas present, which she was bummed about because she's like, I didn't realize it was Christmas. Like, I would have gave you one, too. But eventually she did. And they almost had sex, but he stops himself because she's bummed. She's like, can you just like keep going? But he's like, I can't get pregnant. I can't ruin my life. And there's that age difference. He was like, what, 19 or something like that? Mm-hmm. She was 14 and I guess 15 now. And he's going off for college, too. And so he's like, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to visit on the 4th of July. I promise.
This does happen. So like, except for the Christmas part and the birthday part.
The birthday part happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do remember that.
I don't remember the Christmas part.
No.
So like that whole chapter was a year, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a October, Christmas.
And then school.
And then school in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay. Just keeping my timeline straight. So the police are trying to figure out why. So now we're in 1969 again. Police are trying to figure out why Chase was even in the swamplands. They thought maybe he got mixed up with drugs. His mom was coming to tell them something about this weird seashell necklace that he had on. So, yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, that does happen.
Okay. And 1961, Kaya's 15. Tate never came back for the 4th of July. I was so sad. I really was so sad. I was like, no, Tate. Kaya became super depressed and just kind of laid around for a while.
That happens, but it like it's such a quick little blurb in the movie because they're not going to show her doing nothing for a long time in a movie. So it really feels like the next day she's like, ooh, Chase.
Right. It does. But it was. Oh, it was right here.
Yeah.
A whole. It did say a whole 5 years. So it said it.
But because, like you said, they use the same actress.
Yeah.
It literally feels like it's the next year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So 61 plus five. I guess that's 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's 15. So now she's 19.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're 1965 now, and Kaya's 19. And Kaya was noticed by Chase, which she kind of liked because she went to town to buy something. And she ended up going to town a lot more to try and accidentally run into him. Chase finally talks with her, and Tate did come to town to meet with her. He was just like 15 days late or something like that. His professors gave him a really good opportunity. He wasn't sure that she wanted to be in his new lifestyle, so he kind of like didn't go visit her.
Yep. That happens.
Yep. Did they show him come to town?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I missed that part.
It's like a brief. He's like in the bushes.
Oh,
yeah.
Then we're continuing. So Chase and Kaya met up and he brought her to the beach. He pointed out a shell that was kind of twisted and they had a really nice picnic. And then he tried to have sex with her and she stopped him immediately. At first, that was why he was coming out here to see if he could, you know, get with the swamp girl. But swamp girl, marsh girl,
marsh girl,
marsh girl. But when she stood up for herself, he was like, oh, I actually kind of like that. And he was kind of enthralled by her. And he apologized and said, you know what? Let me take you back to your boat. But she's like, no. And she just walked off on her own.
The difference here is Chase convinces her to let him take her back to her place. And then he just like barges into her house.
Dude. Movie Chase freaking sucked. I mean, Book Chase sucked too, but
yeah, yeah.
I hated Movie Chase.
Was a little bit worse. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or was this the part where he took her to the tower?
Oh, he took her to the tower and then took her home.
Okay,
so just barged in. So it was both
of them.
Yeah, I forgot they went to the tower first, though.
I hated him. He just sucked. All right, so Chase and Kaya kept seeing each other. And or they saw each other because in the movie they keep seeing each other. But in the book, they have distance themselves, right? Kaya's mm-hmm. like, I'm not dealing with you. So they eventually saw each other, and Chase again apologizes and invited her to the fire lookout. She gave him this necklace she made from the shell he found the other day. And he apologized again and said what he did was wrong. But he wore the necklace.
So the fire lookout happens first day that they hang out. Mm-hmm. And he really never super apologized for what he did. He like said it, but it was very insincere, it felt like.
Yeah, I agree.
And the necklace gets given to him a little bit later.
So now we're back at 1969, and Chase's mom came to the police and said that that necklace is gone, which links him to the Marsh girl. And she they were together a couple months and broke it off so he could marry Pearl, his wife. And the police went out looking and they couldn't find the necklace where he had fallen. And so, okay, we got to go check out Kaya's house. And she was already gone when they got there.
A difference here is the second the cops get tipped off to Kaya's house, it's because of a red fiber that's on Chase's body. And they're like, oh, look, there's the red hat in her house. We should go in there. And they just walk right in.
They're like, that's probable cause right there. Let's go in.
Mm-hmm. Whereas in the book, they went to her house a few times before they were like, OK, we can go in.
Yeah. Seemed much more legal.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, God damn, guys. How do you know for sure that's the right red hat?
Right. All right. So we're back to Kaya 19. Is that where we're at now?
Yeah.
OK. And Tate is home and went to go find Kaya. He felt so bad that he hadn't been home for 5 years, but he thought that she couldn't mesh well with his life that he wanted. But he was so wrong and he felt awful. He saw her with Chase, and Chase and Kaya have been going out for a while now. And eventually one thing led to another, but Kaya stopped him again. But he's like, come on, I've showed you how much I care for you. But she still didn't let him have sex with her. And later she said that she ran into his mom in town and was wondering, hey, when am I going to meet your mom? And he's like, got quiet, and he's like, oh, you know, soon, sometime soon.
Yeah, that pretty much happens.
1966, Kaya is 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Chase said that he had to go to Greenville, and he invited Kaya to go too. They got a hotel and he finally convinced her to have sex. And Kaya said she wanted to do some of the parties and stuff with him. And he said that he knows that she doesn't like socializing, so you'll be bored. You don't want to do that with me. Christmas came and gone, and he didn't come back and visited her. And she was out waiting for him when Tate showed up. She threw rocks at him, telling him to leave. He told her about Chase and how he's been seeing a girl in town. He apologized and said he's been working in zoology. And she looks at all of her feather collections and said, you can make a book out of this. And she agreed to let him keep a sample. And soon it was after Christmas and Chase came back.
Oh, oh, oh. Big difference.
Yes.
There's a big difference from earlier that I just missed because I was like, yeah, this happens. I wasn't thinking about what happens differently in the movie. So when Tate first went to leave for school, he was like, you're talented. I've got a list of publishers for you. Here you go. When that comes.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that happened already. So she's had this list of publishers in her back pocket, but she doesn't use them until things start going on with her house and the fact that she doesn't have money for her house and she needs to buy the land that her house is on, essentially, and the deed to her house and all this. So then she goes and like writes out to all the publishers and essentially is starting to get published already. Way early.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the movie, you see Tate kind of get rough with Chase mm-hmm. because Chase is talking about the little, what did he call her? The something Marsh girl. The like a fox or something like that. I can't remember. He was just talking to his guys about her and it pissed Tate off. So he like went to go fight and then jump and breaks him apart.
But he fought him with the red hat on.
Mm-hmm. The movie is very leading. Very mm-hmm. leading. Mm-hmm. It leads you to think You're like, oh, maybe it is Kaya. Oh, maybe it's Tate.
But I would say even the book did. Like, because I, all the same people that I was like, oh, it's Kaya. It's mm-hmm. Tate. It's jumping. They were all who I thought in the book. And then mm-hmm. I could see how it would movie. Also be in the movie, too. So,
yeah. And then, yeah, the rest of that happens.
Okay, 1969, the sheriff and his deputy are at the bar, and one of the local shrimpers comes up and shared some information. He said they were on their way home the night, like one night, and they saw the swamp girl racing away from the fire tower. It wasn't until later that he put two and two together that that was the same night Chase died. The sheriff and deputy agreed they almost have enough for a warrant now.
The shrimper talks about that, but it's not what gives them the warrant.
Yeah,
because they weren't even in the house.
Did he even talk? Like, I don't even remember that coming up in the trial at all, because I was waiting for it.
Yes. Yes, it does. It's not how the book does it, obviously, but it's literally the scene like she's yelling at Jason's like, if you ever come near me again, I'll kill you. Oh, no,
that's someone else.
Oh,
this one is the nighttime one.
Oh, then this one does not happen.
No, yeah, no,
you're right. Sorry.
Because this one is the one, it doesn't happen because, well, it doesn't matter in the movie because they didn't put it in. It confused me. We'll get to it. I'll tell you at the end.
Okay.
Okay, we're at 67 now. So she's 21. Okay. Kaya went to town to get food up for their date, and she ran into Chase with a bunch of his friends. And, like, I don't know if his arm was around a girl, but he was real close to a girl. And he tried to brush it off, like, oh, yeah, you remember these guys? And she's like, okay, even though she had never met them before. She went back to her place, but before she left, she bought a newspaper because she saw that Chase had an engagement announcement in it. And she left it on the table for him to see. And when he came that weekend, and she went out and hid, and he went and looked for her when he got to her house and saw it.
Mm-hmm. One thing that drove me insane was that Kyler just always went and hid rather than like facing all of the problems face first. Like,
yeah,
she knew this was gonna bring up a, you know, hard conversation, so she ran and hid, but uh-huh. like left the proof out to be like, screw you,
right?
But I'm not gonna talk to you about it,
right?
The difference is it's not a newspaper that announces
no
Chase's engagement, it's his actual fiance.
Yeah, says, oh, well, hi, I'm Chase's fiance, like mm-hmm. not even braggy, like she's just yeah. legit, like, nice to meet
introducing
you,
introducing herself. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that we didn't say was a difference up here is when Tate was there.
Mm-hmm.
He tells her that Chase has seen other girls.
Mm-hmm.
He never did that in the movie.
Oh,
he never, like, he just brought up
yeah.
that he had seen them.
Yeah.
But he never said
that he saw her with other or him with other girls.
Kaya took the boat and went out to the ocean. It's a lot rougher waters out there, but she finally found her way to the beach, and she just sat there and said some poetry and just cried.
Yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. Kaya's 22. She went to the mailbox and got her book. With it, she got $5,000, and she totally redid her house. She got indoor plumbing, the bathroom, a bed, refrigerator, all this sort of stuff. There was news that they were going to tear down the swampland and make hotels. So she went to the library or the courthouse and to see if she had a deed. And sure enough, there's a deed in her grandfather's name, which means it's in her name now. But they had to pay back taxes of $800, which is fine because she had leftover money from the $5,000. And she's now the owner of 350 acres of swampland and her little shack. And she sent a message to Tate saying to meet up and she'll give him a copy of her book. He came that afternoon and she signed it because he asked her to. And he's to the feather boy from the swamp girl. Swamp girl? Marsh girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Marsh girl.
And she went to the wharf and gave a copy to Jumpin, and he proudly put it in his window for all to see.
So she already has been published for yeah. a while. She was published when she was with Chase because there was a dinner when she was going to celebrate with him.
Oh, yeah.
But instead, they ended up celebrating how he got a promotion at work. But the rest of this pretty much does happen, just again, kind of in odd different ways, except she doesn't send Tate a message saying, come meet up.
No, she just signs the book for him and gives it to Jumpin' to give to him. Yeah. And so, yeah, because like, so she already had the money because this is when deed thing happens. Mm-hmm. Whereas
in the movie, she ended up getting published because she needed the money.
Yeah. It was a whole stress moment because it's like, oh, no, how is she going to pay for it? OK, so we're at 1969. The sheriff was talking and with Tate and I think his dad. Right. And they had an alibi for Kaya. Tate and someone, because they're like, no, she went to Greenville or Green whatever the town.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember who else it was.
Okay. And had a meeting with her publisher. Chase's mom is saying that she went on the bus on the 28th and she came off on the 30th, but she could have come home like during the night and they matched the bus schedules and that could have been possible.
Yep. That happens in the movie.
1968, this military man had shown up at her shack and at first she was going to run. But then she realized, oh my gosh, it's Jody. Jody shared that he never came back because he thought she moved. And then he joined the military, but he saw her book and he had to try and find her. So unfortunately, their mom had died 2 years ago. He showed her a bunch of pictures she had painted. And that letter that she sent Pa was asking if he could come get she could come get the kids because she was like in this days where she, gotten beaten up and this wasn't the life she planned. And she didn't even realize until a year later, she's like, oh my gosh, I have kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't even imagine that, but I've never been in this situation. So, one of the paintings he showed her was Tate showing Kaya butterflies when they were like babies, super little. And she's like, oh my gosh. And she then told him the story about Tate. And he's like, Kaya, that was like forever ago. You need to forgive him. He's such a good man. And before he left, he gave her his address and contact and information. And she was so happy to have someone she knew's information.
Yep, that happens.
They just didn't do the pictures, and I really wish they did the pictures.
Oh yeah, they didn't do the pictures, you're right.
But I think they didn't do the pictures because in the movie Kaya was old enough the first time she met Tate to remember him. So it made sense. It's just really cute.
Yeah. Yep.
1969. Sheriff went to Kaya's house with their warrant and they found the hat that matched the fibers.
That happened way early on in the movie. And they just walked right on into her house. Yep. No warrant.
Yep. So we're still in 1969, but now we're in the past a little bit. So a couple months before the murder. She published her second book and Tate wrote her a letter and left a compass. And said that, hey, I think you could use this. But that's pretty much all she sees from him because she still hides whenever he's around.
That does not happen. Mm-mm. And her second book, I feel like by the time she started publishing books in the book, she's already at like 4 or 5 in the movie.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. So 1969, the police matched the hat fibers. They were trying to figure out a trap so they could get Kaya because she's not going to come in voluntarily. And someone came in and said they got something to tell him about the case. And after their conversation, they're like, well, that's motive.
I mean, Kaya gets arrested early on.
Yeah.
So it pretty much happens. But yeah.
Yeah.
Happens way early.
Yep. So Kaya goes to Jumpin's and he slowly shook his head, but she didn't catch on. And that's when the police arrested her.
I can't remember how she gets arrested in the movie.
I just remember there's a boat race.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember if there was in the book.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, she tried to evade the cops in the movie, which, man, these boats are slow.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not a car chase. But I think she, yeah, I have no idea. I don't remember. That was the first 3 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm. It happens quick. Honestly think they just get her surrounded or something like that in the boats. Yeah. What were you going to say?
First 3 minutes of the movie and we're 40 minutes into the podcast. So a lawyer comes out named Tom Milton, I think. And he comes out of retirement just to do this case pro bono because he knew Kaya growing up, sort of. Like as much as anyone could know her. Mm-hmm. And they were choosing the jury and started going on with the case, and we found out that if she's convicted, she's facing death penalty.
Movie did not say that, did it?
Death penalty?
Yeah. Oh, it does?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, okay. Well, then the rest of that happens.
Yes. Okay, back a little bit. 1969, Chase had ran into Kaya and was drunk, and he tried to kiss her. She shoved him off, and he's like, why can't we go back to how it was before? And when she fought him off, he liked it. And he's like, all right, like, I like this fight. And then he beat her, pinned her to the ground, and then he was very close to raping her, but she kicked him off and was able to get free. And when she ran off, she saw two men watching her, and she yelled, like, don't ever come near me again or I'll kill you.
That happens.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more note, and you're not even close to where I have to say it.
All right. The first... See, okay. I'll say it later. Okay, so the first witness was one of the men who saw them. He originally heard a woman that sounded like she was in trouble, so he went there to investigate, and they saw her kicking Chase. She ran away with her pants down and yelled, if you come near me again, I'll kill you. And... of course, both lawyers were like flipping it back and forth, right? And Kaya's lawyer is like, but you heard her in trouble, right? So she's trying to make her out to be a good girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens.
1969, she ran away and hid in her little shack, and she was blaming herself for all of this.
This happens.
1970, Kaya sat in jail and heard the murmurs of her fellow inmates talking about her death penalty and case and all that.
When Kaya's in jail, she never hears anyone else. It's always just her.
And the cat. And the kitty cat, yes.
Yes, except for it's supposed to be a black and white cat. And in the movie, it's a tabby. Man. How dare they screw that up?
I know.
It would have been a cute little slash.
It would have. 1969. Tate called her to show her a new microscope on his boat. And she kept her face hidden, but then he finally saw the bruises. He mentioned them, but she said she ran into a door, and he kind of just left it at that. As she left, he threw her his red hat to keep her warm. She went to the beach and saw Chase go to her shack, so she quickly left before he could find her.
I mean, Tate doesn't tell her about a microscope on his boat, but the rest of that does happen in the movie.
Yeah, I would say he also, like, did Chase do this?
And he got real defensive. Yeah, you're right. He knew immediately it was Chase.
Yeah. All right. In 1970, Tate tried to visit her in jail many times, but she always denied him. She met with her lawyer, and he said the best option is to do a plea deal and admit to some type of guilt, but less than murder. She said no. That night, the cat came in, slept in her room, and she asked the guard if he could sleep with her every night. And Jacob, I think the guard's name was like, yeah, sure. I was sad that Jacob wasn't in the movie. He was such a nice guy.
I know.
He was so sweet. Tate came again, and she agreed to see him. And she's like, you need to forget about me. And he said, absolutely not.
Tate never visits her in jail. Mm-mm. Because when she's in jail, we're still trying to get the backstory of everything.
Yes. I know the way they did it. So, you know, everybody's been with her the whole time. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. But they made it a big reveal. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like almost to the end of the case is when
mm-hmm.
Tate and Jumpin' and Mabel and Jody all come in together.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, uh-huh. I want to believe that this was just wrong scene, like out of order just for that effect. And they've been here this whole time. Because that's weird if they weren't.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and the rest of that. Well, I guess actually it doesn't happen. This part doesn't.
No, it does not.
No.
I don't think any of that happens.
No, the cat sleeps with her.
And the plea deal part happens and she says no.
Yeah.
1970. I get a lot of case details, red fibers from the hat. Could have been on Chase for years, not just from that night. Kaya really wanted to call Jody, but she didn't know what she would say to him.
I mean, this happens to the best of our knowledge.
Yep. 1969, Kaya had seen Jumpin' and he asked her about the bruises. He figured out it was Chase, but she begged him not to say anything. He said, something's got to be done about this. And she said, no, they're going to take his side anyways. Please, just please don't leave it alone. Every time something like this happened, my mom's like, oh, he did it. Like, when Tate and Chase were fighting, oh, Tate did it.
That's hilarious. this happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm. 1970. The sheriff is on the stand and he's questioning about high and low tides. Kaya's lawyer is. And he's like, well, OK, if you step in it and the high tide comes, wouldn't it wipe away the footprints? Sheriff said, well, yeah, we didn't do a test on that, though. And he's like, I also have this document here saying that the fire tower is unsafe. Who's it written by? He's like, me. He's like, can you read that last line? He's like, if this is not fixed, someone will get badly injured or death. And so.
Badly injured or death.
Yeah.
Or die.
Yeah. It. Well, I was combining. If this fire tower is not secure, major injury or death may occur.
There you go.
Thanks. Yeah.
This does happen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
1969, Kaya got home from Greenville and went to visit Jumpin'. There, he told her about Chase, and the people are thinking it's an accident, but some people are thinking it's foul play. He told her about the necklace, and he was happy that she was out of there so they couldn't pin it on her. I also liked how it was the previous one with Jumpin'. Mm-hmm. And how he like starts crying for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the movie. That was so cute.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Not really cute. Sweet.
Yep, this part does happen.
Yes.
Sorry, you got me thrown off because I was like, wait, what just got
1970, the lawyers were questioning the bus drivers for that evening, and they said there might have been a tall man and an elderly woman dressed in disguise. Oh, now they're reaching for stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that happens.
1970, the lawyers interviewed Chase's mom, and they showed a journal of Kaya that Kaya had given Chase. In the journal, there's a picture of her and Chase together, and they spoke about the shell necklace and how Kaya gave it to him, and he never took it off.
There's no journal in the movie. It's only the shell necklace that she gets interviewed about.
Yep. 1970. Oh, we're still at 1970. Awesome. Okay. They were questioning the shrimpers who said they saw her boat. When Kaya's lawyer asked if you were 100% sure, because the moon wasn't out yet, he's like, I guess I'm not 100% sure. And Chase's lawyer asked how often he's been wrong. He's like, I've never been wrong when I've seen her boat.
What's funny is the shrimpers saw him in bright daylight in the movie.
Yep. Well, that's because this part didn't happen.
Oh, this is that one.
This okay. is when she's running away My from
bad.
The scene.
My bad. Okay.
Yes.
This part did not happen.
Jody was at the courthouse now as well. They pulled a witness from the cashier at the Piggly Wiggly, and she said she saw Kaya get on the bus and come back a few days later. Chase's lawyer is like, okay, we see that you have a lot of people saying that you saw her get on the bus. We don't need that because we agree. And he said he never. Oh, then they spoke with the hotel clerk in Greenville. He said he never saw Kaya leave her room. And she was right across the way, so he would have noticed. And Chase's witness said, yeah, but you were doing all these other things. Couldn't she have left without you noticing? He's like, I suppose, but I never saw her leave.
They only really interview the bus people about this. There's no hotel clerk or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Tate's dad realizes how prejudiced he's been against Kaya, and he decides he needs to go support his son. So he went to the courthouse. He just randomly showed up.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
He was like randomly on the bench with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now they're interviewing her publishers, and he said he dropped her off and picked her up for breakfast. Nothing seemed weird, but that she requested being in a small motel versus the hotel that they were in. Chase's lawyers assumed it was because she was closest to the bus stop for easy murder. Kaya's lawyer is like, well, she doesn't like busy crowds. She doesn't like people. She wants to be somewhere that is closest to the bus stop because she doesn't know how to take the bus, so it would be easiest for her. And Kaya needed recess because she's starting to feel really nauseous. And then when they went back in, they're questioning the sheriff again about timelines. And according to the timeline, she could not have done it in the time they have. They needed an extra 20 minutes because the bus ran late that day. And sheriff said, well, she could have got a few minutes here or there. And or maybe if she ran by land and not by boat, she would have made it in time. This pissed Chase's lawyer off because he just convinced the jury that they did it by boat. He's like, shut up.
I feel like Kaya never needed a recess because she was feeling nauseous, but for the most part, most of this happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they really went into the timeline.
Not as thoroughly as they did in the books.
Yeah. Okay. They gave their closing arguments. Kaya's lawyer kept updating the jury, is asking them for information. Oh, yeah. Kaya's lawyer kept updating the, like, Tate and all of them as the jury got more information, which was good. And eventually he came and said they've reached a verdict, and they're all really nervous because that was super quick. But they deemed her not guilty.
I thought it was like a day later in the book.
It might have been a day, but they were hoping for it to be a couple.
They were hoping for it to be longer, but it wasn't as quick as it could be. Because when I watched the movie, I was like, dude, jury came back in like 20 minutes. And yeah. I know, obviously, we were supposed to assume that time had, because Tate goes, man, why is it taking so long?
Yeah.
But it felt like it was right then and there. Yeah. I was like,
not good. But she's not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
My mom thought she would be deemed guilty. And then that's when Tate would stand up and say, I actually did it. Yeah. I was like, that's so mean. If he put her through this, I would never go out with him again. All right. Jody took her home. And he wanted to stay a couple days, but she yelled at him. It's like, I've always been alone. I can keep being alone and all this sort of stuff. She feels awful, but whatever. Because he left and she's like, I need to go see Tate. And she hears these different boats and she sees it's the sheriff and deputy and they get Tate on their boat. I was like, my mind was blown at this moment.
Yeah, this part doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope. Turns out the police were telling him his dad died. That's what I got from it. Is that what happened? Or did his dad just die?
Oh, that probably is exactly. I was just thoroughly confused. I was like, wait, why is he on the boat? And then they just like let him go. This is probably why.
Okay.
You're probably right.
Okay. So time goes on and he's visiting the grave and everything. And he saw a feather on his boat seat and decided he needed to go see Kaya. And he went to go see her and he said he loves her and she loves him and happily ever after. Well, it's not over yet. Don't. Go away, not yet.
What's funny is in the book their relationship doesn't start again until a little while later, whereas in the movie it's just like boom, she's innocent, we're good.
Yeah, pretty much. And she did it, I thought it was cuter in, well, because his dad didn't die,
yeah,
so he wasn't like at a grave, he was doing his research, doing work, and she left a little feather in like one of his test tubes.
Yeah.
That's cute. Okay, we got the epilogue. So Tate asked her to get married. I don't think they ever did, though, because like they're like birds. But they're
She said, why do you need that? We already basically are. We're like the geese. And he was like, all right, that's good enough for me.
So stupid. So they invited her brother and his wife over and soon her nieces and nephews, and they stayed in the marsh and Tate brought in the architects and they added a lab to their little shack. One day he came home and told her that Jumpin' had died, and she didn't go to the funeral, but later went to Mabel and hugged her and gave her jam, and she went to go say goodbye to Jumpin' in her own words. And Tate and Kaya always wanted kids, but they never ended up having them, and they grew very close because of this, and they spent so much time together. They were no more than a couple hours apart. She wrote 7 more books, and one day she didn't come back from wandering out on the swamp. He went to look for her and found her dead in her boat because she had died from heart failure. He had buried her on her land, and he was looking for a will and through all her things, and he realized all the beautiful poems that he loved were actually written by her.
No, he hated them. She loved them.
What?
Yeah, he didn't like them. Because she was always quoting them to him. And he was like, I think this writer could be a better writer. Like, this is not great. Oh, is that why
he felt bad? Because that's what he told her?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Awkward.
Yeah.
Okay. But then he found hidden in one of the books Tate's rawhide necklace shell, like shell necklace. So he burned the rawhide and dropped the shell on the beach.
And one of the poems was literally about the murder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this happens in the movie, but I feel like they do not do a good job with this montage showing the passage of time. So it literally is like 2 seconds later, she's supposed to be older, greeting her niece and nephew. Then the next scene, it's the funeral, and you only realize that time has passed because Maple's got a ton of gray hair in her hair.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, because when I got to this part, when I was reading the book, mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't remember it at
all. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then when I watched it, I was like, this is why I didn't remember it, because it like goes quick. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, I thought she died when she was young. And then you found out that she had done it.
Yeah.
But then I realized, I was like, oh, no. They're older now. But yes, it happens in like 2 seconds.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the whole movie.
Yeah.
And book.
We did it.
Yes. IMDb cast 58 people. That's so funny. We had 58 people last book.
Too. Oh, that is hilarious. Huh. I also, did you realize that the last name Clark is the same?
Yes.
Isn't that funny? When I was listening to the book, I was like, huh, this is weird.
This is weird. We have Daisy Edgar Jones plays Kaya Clark.
I thought she did good.
I liked her a lot.
Yeah, she was really good. Mm-hmm.
Taylor John Smith played Tate Walker.
I need to recast him.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I had a whole different dude in my head and I can't think of who he was. I would cast KJ Apa for Tate.
Okay. Yeah, I mm-hmm. can see it working. Mm-hmm.
I didn't like his face.
You didn't like his face? You didn't think it was cute?
No.
Oh, I thought it was really cute. Okay. We got Harris Dickinson played Chase.
I need to recast him, but this dude, he looks exactly like the dude that I want to recast him with. It's just that his nose is different. Mm. I'm looking at him right now to see if I can figure out who I want. I literally almost feel like I'm trying to cast.
You know who I would cast?
Who?
Probably. No, I'm fine with who it is. But if I was thinking of recasting, what's the super punk guy? From he plays what's his name in Divergent?
Peter?
No.
Miles Teller.
Yeah, I could see him doing a good chase.
Oh, I think he would be a great Chase. Mm-hmm. I for some reason, where is he? Oh, he's in this movie. I love him, but he's too old. Hilarious that this is his picture. Alexander Skarsgård. But there's someone who literally is younger who looks like him, but I can't figure out his name. So I'm going to just say Alexander Skarsgård.
Okay, that's fine. David Strathern played Tom Milton, who was Kaya's lawyer.
Yeah, he was really good.
I liked him a mm-hmm. lot. Okay, Michelle Hyatt plays Mabel.
Yeah, she did really good.
I liked her a lot.
Mm-hmm. She was really good. Mm-hmm.
And Sterling Macer Jr. played Jumpin'.
He was really good.
I liked him a lot, too.
Yeah.
Logan
Macrae
played Jody.
So what's funny is I'm a big fan of the Mindy Project, and there is a Jody in the Mindy Project. So I kept thinking of Garrett Dillahunt when I heard the name Jody, because he's Jody in that show. Uh-huh. So this is who I kept thinking of.
I can see that. I wasn't super excited about this Jody.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in it enough for me to recast him.
Yeah, exactly. I was just disappointed just because I was recasting because the guy plays Jody in a different show.
Right, right.
We should have to.
Who's that? No way. Oh my gosh. Okay, so Garrett Dillahunt played Pa.
Hilariously, I just freaking recast him as Jody.
So he is now his son and himself. And his dad. That's hilarious.
Wow, how did I not even realize that when I was watching it?
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Gosh. All right. So we got JoJo Regina as little Kaya.
She was sweet.
So cute. Mm,
she really reminded me of a tiny Abigail Breslin.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, Little yeah, Miss yeah, Sunshine. I do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She was cute. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then Jerry Tubbs played cheats his mom.
Yeah, she was fine.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
She was kind of snooty.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Is the theme of the book and movie the same?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do the characters stay true?
Yeah.
Yeah. What should you prefer?
Movie. 100%.
Why?
Here's why. The movie hooks you with the murder and the main story is the murder. Whereas the book is literally the story of Kaya's upbringing. And then it gets to the murder. Like, yeah, the murder is always like interspersed. But like the story that gets told through the book is like Kaya explaining it to her lawyer and like all of this. So it gives you a reason to learn all this stuff. Whereas the book just kind of throws it at you.
You just explained why I like the book more. I like that it's Kaya's life. And then, oh, yeah, there's the murder. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't dislike the movie. I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
But I liked the book better.
Yeah.
Cool. Would you recommend it to a friend?
I would recommend the movie to a friend.
I would recommend both, actually. Yeah. I watched it with my mom. So after reading the book, I was like, oh, I actually think my mom might like this. Mm-hmm. So we watched it together. And she even after, I wasn't sure if she liked it throughout.
Yeah.
Because I was like, because it kind of moves sort of slower.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I don't know if she's gonna like this. When it ended, she was like, that was really good. I was like, oh, good. Like, good. And she had gotten a couple years ago or the year before for my grandparents' Christmas gift, she got them subscription to Netflix.
Yeah.
And so they freaking love it.
Yeah.
And so then she got them this year Hulu. And she was telling, we were talking today and I was like, do grandma and grandpa even use Hulu? And she's like, no, not really. She's like, well, she said they just stick to Netflix. And I was like, she's like, well, I need to tell them to go watch Where the Crawdads Sing. I was like, there you go.
That's hilarious.
But yeah. Okay. I think that's all. I feel like there were things I was going to say. I was like, we'll get to it. And then I don't know if we ever did.
There was a lot of things you're like, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. And I don't think you did.
I'm not sure. Well,
you're going to have a lot of notes in our recap for this one when you listen to it.
Yes, I will. All right. Well, we got our website for yeah. So it's offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Go like it.
Go rate my Southern accent. I did sporadically through this entire episode.
I kept noticing it. I was like, where's this coming?
You can rate, subscribe, review there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do it all about her Southern accent.
Yeah. I think it was pretty good.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
You sound like freaking John when he's doing his race.
Well, I purposely did it bad there because he was just making fun of me. That wasn't how I really do it. I thought I did it pretty good throughout it. I mean, I'm obviously someone from the South is going to be like, you suck. But from Pacific Northwest, I think I did pretty good.
The best is John will try and do a British accent, but it's his Southern accent. He's like, what are you talking about? This is great. I'm like, no.
Getting some crumpets and some, what else do they eat over there?
Tea.
Crumpets and tea. Oh my gosh.
But June 7th, you can come check us out at the Nerd Party.
What?
It's in Kent.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably be in front of Paige Turner's again or somewhere near there. Who knows?
Yes. More information. We'll share it with you.
Mm-hmm. We're excited.
Yeah, it should be fun. On Wednesday, we might have a mini-sode for you.
Mm-hmm. I think we will. But I'm pretty sure we will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep eyes out for that.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, we're doing the Warriors.
Come out to play. Yay. Allie thought that I was just talking shit. I would do that all the time because we've been talking about these books for forever, and every time I say the Warriors I have to do the Warriors come out to play. Yay.
I thought you were just like over exaggerating it, and then we watched that part and I was like, oh, you do it exactly perfect.
So I'm excited for that.
That should be fun.
All right, with that, Where the Crawdads Sing
went off script.
Bye.
We did very good. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can
also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art,
and Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song,
and to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romantasy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.